Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Halfway home on a Monday evening on Sports Radio 910 The Game. This is John Trucker Show live in the Kia Studios with you here this evening. 404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. We do ask you to download the Odyssey.com app, because we know you're not in the car as much as what you used to be, but you want to listen to the station and the show. How do I do it? Best way is through the Odyssey.com app, right? Put that on one of your devices today. Take the smartphone, take the Alexa speakers, the tablet, the boombox, your Laserdisc, your Lightbright, Coleco, whatever your device is. Just download onto something to be able to catch us when you're on the go. Social media is at 99thegame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us there. As always, the best way to be a part of the show, it's through our personal Twitter handles. Reach me at JMCH316. That, of course, your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. On the other side of the glass, producing the show, as always, Jarvis in the building at JarvisD90. This, of course, tonight, look at all things Atlanta Falcons. It is the Falcons flyover. Pro Football Focus has their top offensive line rankings out right now. Browns at number one. I'm not really surprised at that. They have a really, really good group of offensive linemen. And adding Jack Conklin last year really was a big pickup for them. The Indianapolis Colts at number two, no issue with that. Patriots at three, that's interesting considering some of the losses that they had. The Saints at four and the Bucks at five. So how about that? Two of their top five reside in the NFC South in the Falcons division. Where do you think, Jarvis, where do you think the Falcons ended up at?
29th.
23rd. The Falcons' offensive line has tapered off in recent years, and the unit ranks just 21st in pass-blocking grade over the last 2 years. They say Jake Matthews is as steady as it gets, top-notch pass protector. Says he's closer to the middle of the pack as a run blocker, though he's done his best work on zone runs and should fit in the new system in Atlanta. Caleb McGarry took a step forward last season, but his overall grade is still low. His grades in the pass protection last two seasons has been in the 50s. 73rd best grade on zone runs. They're saying, you know, maybe year three could be a breakout for McGarry. Whew. I'll believe that when I see it. Chris Lindstrom has progressed nicely. Talking a little bit about him. Now they talk about who's going to replace Alex Mack, the second highest graded center in the NFL since he joined Atlanta in 2016. Matt Hennessy will get the first crack at it. Falcons also drafted Drew Dahlman, who may have issues in pass protection after never grading above a 74 in college. So they say the Falcons headed into 2021 with two reliable starters and 2.5 question marks. Now, isn't that kind of what we've been talking about? That they have two guys that we trust, one guy that's kind of and two spots that I don't know who's the starter yet on there. And that's the problem. You have almost 60% of your offensive line is got questions. And either questions or not solidified. Because I'll say this, if McGarry can't start at right tackle, you better find a way to get some use out of him, because he's a first-round draft pick. I don't want to hear about he's a rotation. He's that swing tackle, as they say in the NFL. If Caleb McGarry finds himself being a swing tackle this year in the NFL, can I tell you that it may be time to move on from Caleb McGarry? That if we're talking, this is their, what did we say this was, Jarvis, their third year, right? This is year three. You know, at the end of this year, you have to decide on the fifth-year option. And this will, look, Lindstrom's getting his fifth-year option. There's no question about that. But McGarry, if he has another mediocre year, you think they pick up his option anyway? You think that he gets his option picked up, Jarvis, if his year this year is mediocre? Because you can always cut him. I mean, but once you commit to it, see, here's the other problem with the fifth-year option, too, by the way. And this is the Keanu Neal thing. Remember when Keanu Neal got hurt in his fourth year? Okay? Well, that made his fifth-year option a 100% guarantee, meaning that even if the Falcons would have cut him in year five, they were still on the hook for his salary. So, obviously, McGarry's a guy who's battled some injuries himself and has some medical history issues. So, what would happen if McGarry, if you pick up his fifth-year option and he gets hurt and you're not real happy with him and you want to move on from him? So, you know, again, it's the same scenario that Keanu Neal faced. He got hurt in year four, and it automatically made his fifth-year option all guaranteed money as far as the Falcons were on the hook for him, whether he's on the roster or not. Now, if he's on the roster, his salary's 100% against your cap. There's no rigged number or anything like that. What he gets is what goes against the cap. But you can cut a guy. You can pick up a guy's fifth-year option and still cut him and not take the hit, right? But not if he gets hurt in year four. And that's the danger. That's the upside, the downside of the fifth-year option is what you can do with it. And for a guy who's had some issues, and, you know, but again, we'll see. I'll be curious to see if he has sort of a average year, even if he's the starter all year long and his year is average. I wonder if this new group of guys, coach and general manager, will pick up his fifth year option. That will be an interesting discussion to have at the end of the year, especially having draft Jalen Mayfield. But again, you know, he's got his own issues. You know, I don't know if he's ready to step in and take any kind of starting NFL role for all of it. All right. Jason LaConfora wrote an article on CBSSports.com saying the Falcons' biggest mistake isn't trading Julio Jones. It's not also dealing Matt Ryan and others for a full rebuild. So here's how he starts off with this. He says, "Oh, poor Falcons fans, I weep for thee. Not because of the Julio Jones trade. Now, the real problem is that Jones is the only meaningful or quasi-meaningful trade that the perpetually middling franchise has made. The problem is that Matt Ryan isn't gone too, and it's compounded by the last three trade deadlines in which management was maleficent in its dereliction of duty to retool for the future and deal aging players on bloated contracts while they still could. So they end up dealing arguably the most impactful player in the history of the franchise and surefire first ballot Hall of Famer for effectively what the Falcons themselves gave to Baltimore a year ago for the right to take backup tight end Hayden Hurst off their hands. Yeah, it really is that bad." Now, look, here again is, this will be the difference about whether or not guys like LaConfora and some of the fan base are right or not. It won't be a full rebuild, as I've said before, until Matt and Julio are both gone. When those two are both gone, then you're in full rebuild mode at that point. But obviously, this coaching staff and this general manager feel like that they can win with Matt. And we've said before, you know, I understand the Falcons were 4-12 last year, but they were 0-7 in one-score games. Let me ask you a question, Jarvis. Let's say the Falcons went 4-3 in one-score games last year, okay? They'd be 8-8, right? Okay. Would you feel differently about this franchise or this roster if they were 8-8 last year versus 4-12?
Maybe I'd probably be a little bit more optimistic, but I still feel the same way I feel about this roster, and I think it's very incomplete. They have a lot of holes to fill.
So I think if you're 8-8 and you bring in a new coach, a new general manager, and you give Matt one more shot, I don't think the fan base would have reacted as negatively about that. But I think that people are looking and saying, okay, it's been 3 years of losing, and we don't seem like – and I understand why people are ready to move on from Matt Ryan. But it's hard to tell a coach and general manager to come into a franchise, get rid of everybody on your roster, be in salary cap hell, and not win. And not
just for a first-year head coach. If he was a veteran coach – he'd maybe get a little leeway, but right. You know, with the record head coach, he want to win now.
If it was Thomas Dimitrov and he'd been here for 10 years and told the owner that, okay, because again, that was Thomas's free pass after firing Mike Smith is, okay, we got to retool the roster and get this thing back on track. And that's what the goal was. And obviously they went to the Super Bowl. But if you've got a first-year coach, first-year GM, and your first moves are to get rid of Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and then sell people on the idea of trying to win anything, then you're toast. And that's a hard sell. That's a hard sell to start telling people to just sit back and wait and hopefully we get the draft right and this thing.
Oh, by the way, make sure you spend your money and re-up on
season tickets and your PSLs and everything else. You know, yeah, that's a hard sell to your fan base. And I understand Jason Lockenfor's point. And remember, we had him on last year, and he said the same thing, that they should be in full rebuild mode. And I understand that. But, man, it's so hard. Because, look, rebuilds can be in the NFL a couple of years, 3 years. Or, you know, for the Browns, it could be 20. You know, if you're the Browns, it's 21 years, right? Or whatever, 20 years or whatever. Because if you don't get the quarterback spot right, The problem isn't how do you replace Julio. The problem is how you replace Matt. Well, we could have drafted a quarterback. Yeah, but what if that guy – okay, so if that guy doesn't work out, you do understand that your franchise gets set back another 3, 4, 5 years. Why have the Jets not been able to overcome? Did the Jets get it wrong with Jamal Adams? Did they get that pick right?
He's a hell of a player. He's an all-pro player,
right,
so how
right.
can you be wrong?
Right, exactly. Look at some of their other draft picks, Jarvis. The Jets have gotten some things right in their draft, right? My point is, where they haven't gotten it right, is the position that truly affects your franchise. Okay? I mean, with all due respect. So if you can get, look, the Browns got a lot of things right. They drafted Joe Thomas. They drafted TJ Ward. You know, they found guys that were good players. They had some guys that were good players on their roster. And at one time, they sent 4 guys to the Pro Bowl 1 year. But if you don't get your quarterback position right, then all that other stuff is doesn't have a whole lot of meaning. That's why we kind of talk about Tampa Bay that, yeah. I mean, is there really a difference, Jarvis, between being a 7-9 and 4-12 team in the NFL? Is there really that much of a difference between 7-9 and 4-12?
A coach's decision here, a turnover
right.
here. Yeah,
right.
It's not much.
Okay. But what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers do, they said that we have to make – there's one main move. Yeah, we got draft. Well, we got – there's one main move that we have to go. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers could have done all of the same things in the offseason. They could have drafted Wirfs and drafted Winfield. Okay? They could have signed Gronk. They could have signed AB. It wouldn't have mattered if they had Jameis Winston. It wouldn't have mattered if they had Jim. They could have done all of the exact same moves, brought in all of the exact same players with the same exact coaches, and had they not have made the one move where it counted the most, it wouldn't have mattered. They wouldn't have been in the Super Bowl. Things wouldn't have changed for Tampa Bay. And that's the fear. And I think that's why when you're a coach and a GM and you feel like you've got a guy who can win and has won in the league, the idea of giving him up right away. And when Jason Lockenfor has a bloated contract, all the quarterbacks are on bloated contracts. Unless you're in your rookie deal, who doesn't have a bloated contract? Right? Everybody's got a bloated contract. Are you telling me Dak Prescott doesn't have a bloated contract? You telling me Carson Wentz doesn't have a bloated contract? Are you telling me right now Deshaun Watson doesn't have a bloated contract? They all have bloated contracts. That's not unique to everybody in the NFL. All quarterbacks get paid that high dollar money because of that position that they play. How many times have we said, quarterback's not about what you're worth. Quarterback's who's next in line. That's how the money works at quarterback. It's not about what have you done. It's about, oh, you're next? Oh, and we like you? Oh, well, we better make sure that we, you know, keep our hands on everything. Carson, what did we say? Carson Wentz and Dak Prescott have combined for one playoff win and $143 million in guaranteed money. You better get that position right. So that's where I disagree with Jason Lock on four is if I'm a new coach and GM and I think I can win with those guys, I stay with those guys. I have a number one in Calvin Ridley. I have to have some money to do some other things. But if I give up my quarterback, I could be looking at a really long time before I get good again. You just never know in the NFL. All right, when we come back, it will be time for That's Life. We've got our top 10 list, plus a name that is, we talked about the most popular names. How about the one that is becoming the least popular name? And it probably won't surprise you when I give it to you. It's all next. Chuck Rinicky, Studio, Sports Radio, The Game, Odyssey.com app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuckery Show. 9:23 on this Monday evening. You know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey.com app is how you catch us on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game. At JMCH316 at JarvisD90. Gets our top 10 here in just a minute. Jarvis, do you know what is the fastest falling baby name in America? Remember we talked about the top baby names the other day?
Yeah.
The baby name that is becoming the least popular, that dropped another 171 spots on the popularity list year over year from 2019 to 2020, as you can imagine, is Karen.
Karen?
Karen.
Wow.
You know the Karens?
Yeah.
just to
nobody wants their child to turn into a Karen.
Just to give you this perspective, how about this? Only 325 baby girls were named Karen last year.
Oh, wow.
To give you some perspective, Jarvis, in 1965, 33,000 newborn girls were named Karen.
Wow.
How about that?
33,000 to 300.
Yeah. It fell 21 spots to number 660 in 2019. And then in 2020, it fell from 660 to 831st on the list of popular baby names out there. So when people talk about that there is a Karen shortage, maybe not personality-wise, but certainly real name-wise, there's a shortage of all of it. Think about that. Only three. And Karen is not like a radical name or anything like that. You know what I mean? Like it's not a unnormal name. But how about that? 33,000 newborns in 1965 to 325 were all last year.
Man, so, that's crazy.
Yeah. So there you go.
Sorry, Karen.
Yeah. Karen got to go. How about this? An Italian sculptor. Oh, Italian artist Salvatore Garo. Garo, G-A-R-A-U. Just sold his latest sculpture for $18,000. Okay? One problem. The piece is titled I Am or Io Sono in Italian. And literally, it's an empty space. There's nothing there.
Wow.
When I tell you that there's nothing there, there's nothing there. It's an empty squared off space. And he sold it for $18,000. He explained, quote, the vacuum is nothing more than a space full of energy. And even if we empty it and there's nothing left, according to the Heisenberg uncertainty principle, that nothing has a weight. Therefore, it has energy that is condensed and transformed into particles that is into us. When I decide to exhibit an immaterial sculpture in a given space, that space will concentrate a certain amount of density of thoughts at a precise point, creating a sculpture that, from my title, will only take the most varied forms. After all, don't we shape a god we've never seen? And he got $18,000 for it.
Wow.
And the artwork has to be displayed in a 5x5 area, free of obstructions, special lighting and climate control are at the discretion of the owner if they want to display it. $18,000 for what is an empty space of concrete. We're in the wrong business, I can tell you.
All because he's able to put into a whole bunch of words that sounds really good to people who are, quote-unquote, eclectic.
Yeah, it's just an empty space on the street.
Yeah.
It's a 5x5 marked-off area on the street, and somebody bought it out there. $18,198.90. By the way, no word yet on how the buyer is going to move the sculpture. So with that, tonight's top 10 list. Top 10 frivolous things that we have spent our money on over our life. Jarvis, the floor is yours.
Well, you know, Chuck, I've been put in some situations in my life. So, you know, that's kind of what I'm going to give it to you, man. I'll give it to you straight like that. All right. So the first one is when I purchased, this is actually when I purchased my first functioning vehicle. And I bought it with a 26% interest rate.
Nothing wrong with that. That's pretty normal for, I guess, first time, your first time, right?
But it took me like 8 years to pay that thing off, Chuck.
Yeah.
Like, that's an exorbitant amount of money.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You're talking about, like, the truck. I think the truck maybe was like 18 grand probably. Well, I ended up paying like maybe 30-something grand for that joint.
I think about, you know, another third of your loan was just the interest payments for it.
Right.
Yeah.
Goodness, man.
Yep.
Wow. How do you let a dog on 20-something, man, do stuff like that, man? Build your kids' credit before you let them go out and buy stuff with a 26% interest rate.
Or don't buy something until you can afford it on something like that.
Yeah, that's true, too. Yeah.
Like, your first car,
it is that notion.
Your first car doesn't need to be a four-year loan.
No doubt. Well, I'm going to get to the one that I tried to buy. I had enough money to buy. We're going to get to that one. I was real big into growing up. Chuck, so, you know, where I come from, man, like, you're not really from Atlanta unless you rock the Atlanta Braves cap.
Right.
Like, the original one. Mm-hmm. Like, the one with the red bill, the blue hat, and the white letter A,
yeah.
You know,
yep.
Capital A. Gotta have that.
Yep.
So, I probably had, like, maybe 25, 30 of those bad boys in my lifetime.
Nice.
And I don't know where any of them are.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was real big on that. Every time
those
I had any,
like, $4.99 a piece, because those weren't, I'm guessing you didn't buy those at, like Stuckey's or something like that.
Not at all. I heard that conversation earlier. That was interesting. but those was back when they were under $20 though.
Okay.
These are actually fitted caps. Like, for all you kiddos out there, like, these are the type of hats that they had before the snapback movement came along.
Yes.
So yeah, they didn't have anything back there. They just fit your head exactly the size of your head. And
right.
I don't have a small head, so I had to really search long and hard to find them. Yeah.
That you know what, though? That there's a lot of people like that with hats, jerseys, and stuff like that. See, I was never really that. I mean, I could buy a I still have like some of the original 92.9 The Game hats that I have around that we got like really? 9 years ago. Yeah, like 9 years ago.
Wow,
like,
man.
I don't get rid of any. I wear hats so infrequently
mm-hmm.
that I can keep them forever, forever and a day. Like, in
that's good, man. Maybe wear something one day, man.
Can't be worth less than my anyway.
Well, yeah. See, you trying to get us in trouble,
yeah,
man.
I know. It's more fun that way.
I didn't throw the alley for you to get us in trouble and throw it in the let's get in the corner office hoop. Let's make a funny hoop. Anyway,
corner office anymore. Well, sort of. I guess
it's still there. Yeah, it's still there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's at the opposite corner.
Yeah. There you go. This was a very interesting, funny time. So it's funny that you mentioned jerseys. So back when the whole throwback jersey movement was going down, I actually used some of my loan money that I took out for a semester to go to take a trip home for the weekend just to buy throwback jerseys and drive back the same day to go to a basketball game.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Yeah, man, you know.
Yeah, that's
like, I never forget sitting up in the room with the guy. He was like, yeah, man, I got these jerseys. Yeah, I'm only going to sell these jerseys to y'all because I know y'all want to be the first guys to have them and all that stuff. And I was just like, yeah, all right, yeah, let's do that. Yeah, really soft-talking guy, you know, that's selling me this jersey for hundreds of dollars, you know, that I really don't have,
hey,
listen, fake money.
That shop in Buckhead, oh, man, that throwback jersey shop in Buckhead that was right there at Piedmont.
Mitchell and Ness.
Huh?
Mitchell and Ness?
No. Oh, man. Mike Bell and them used to do all kinds of advertisements for them. But that was a really popular place that they had all kinds of throwback jerseys that guys would go crazy for.
All right, and my top two here, I'm sure, I don't know if you probably got into this, but, you know, being that, you know, we kind of got in the stock market at the same time, and, man, I lost out on a couple of $100, man, chasing pump and dumps. That's how I used to try to figure out, hey, man, if I can put enough money into it. You know, y'all have guys on social media, you're like, yeah, man, get into this stock right here. Oh, it's about to blow.
Yeah.
You get it for 85 cents, and tomorrow is going to be $25. I'm like, wait a minute. Yeah.
Everybody wants to find that penny stock.
Yeah, no doubt.
That,
yeah.
That you can buy for like 75, 80 cents, and even if it makes $3 or $4.
Yeah, you know exactly. I mean? Like, yeah, because you're going to buy as much of it you can.
Right,
yeah.
Right. I was doing a little bit of that, too. I'll admit, I mean, I had some stock that I bought at like 75, 80 cents that – I think the best I did was probably $1.25 or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, which was, you know, again, it doesn't add up to nothing, though. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
Like, instead of, like, I bought, like, $36 worth of stock and got, like, $48, you know, back. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I made, like, $16.
That's over 100. That's almost 115, 120%, Chuck. Yeah. Hey, man, look.
You know,
getting like, a nice return on your investment.
Yeah.
And last but not least, man, like, this kind of correlates with my, the first one. I dumped a poop ton of money into my first car that I purchased for $300. It was an 84 Mercury Cougar,
mm-hmm.
had some rims on it. It looked nice, but it was an absolute lemon. Kept trying to pump money into it. My uncle said, oh, yes, all you need is this. Yeah, I'm going to get that. Still don't work. Hey, man, all you need is this. Yeah, man, get that. Still don't work. I drove it one time, truck, and I broke down that one time that I drove it. So, yeah.
That's the problem is that, you know, that you buy those cars, and it ends up costing you 10 times as much to fix it
right.
as what the car's worth. You know what I mean? Like, the car's worth spare parts. I mean,
that's why you bite the bullet and go ahead and get that 26% interest rate.
So, my list quickly here. I spend way too much money on storage units and on my storage units, and I got one storage unit, but I don't even have, like, any big furniture or anything in it.
Really?
It's just a whole bunch of different
just
stuff.
Yeah.
It's, like, stuff, and it's, like, why don't I just throw this out and get rid of it? But I don't. I just keep dumping storage money units in there. I've talked about this before. I was a big baseball card collector.
Of course. I've
dumped tons of cash, both in baseball cards. And then, man, I start going through. I've got that James Bond autograph collection of all these different James Bond actors. And I can't even begin to tell you how many thousands of dollars I've put into all of that. Eating out. Like, I've gone through long stretches at times where I never cooked at home, and I was always eating.
I'm with you.
You know, breakfast on the road, lunch on the road, dinner on the road. My daughter and I kind of do that now. When my daughter's with me, we always eat out. You know what I mean? It's like it's just quicker and easier. So I've spent a ton of money doing that. I bought over the last few years, for whatever reason, I've bought, like, every time they're, like, on a pretty low price, like Kohl's or something like that, I buy sports coats. And I've got, like, about 8 or 10 sport coats right now.
I like sports coats, man.
I do, I'm with too, you. But I never like wear them. I've got them, and they're all hung up.
Supposed to wear them to your job, but, right. Hey, I can wear T-shirts and flip-flops
right,
here.
Exactly. And I've got, like, 8 or 10 of them in all different colors and styles, mm-hmm. and have nowhere to wear them.
By the way, what if the Odyssey 929 The Game changed the dress code? What if we got a dress code here?
To do what?
To, like, business casual. Like, you had to wear business casual to work every day. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of the jobs I've had, I've done that anyway. I have spent, you know, I haven't spent crazy money on watches, but I've got, like, about 15 watches right now, and some of them are, you know, anywhere from, like, maybe $25 cheap ones to several $100, you know, a little bit more expensive ones. But I don't have a Rolex or anything like that. But still, it's like, how many watches can you wear, though? You know?
Right, yeah.
So, steroids. I spent a lot of money on steroids. Lots of money. And I was young and had some money in my pocket.
Hey, man.
And,
young, and, dumb, and full of
steroids. Yeah. Young, dumb, and full of test. So anyway. And this will all tie in together. Cigars. I had buddies that had connections. We bought lots of Cuban cigars. I've spent lots of thousands of dollars on Cuban cigars in my life. And then my final two, bar tabs. I spent a lot of money at bars, man. I was never afraid to buy girls drinks. I was never afraid to run up a big bar tab. And then finally, lap dances.
Oh,
I've spent a when I tell you I've built VIP rooms at Oasis. I've helped build the VIP room at Pink Pony. I told you about that story, man. We spent in about less than 2 hours. We spent almost $5,000 one night for my buddy's birthday at Gold Club, or not Gold Club, Pink Pony on Beaufort Highway there. When I tell you I've spent a lot of money in my lifetime on lap dances, I mean, I've spent a lot of money in VIP. Now, look, I had a lot of fun.
Carpet burning your lap,
boy. I got a lot of fun, a lot of good times. We've got lots of stories for the podcast.
Of course.
But
that we haven't started yet.
Yeah. But man, oh man, oh man, that's a lot of money that came out of my pocket. When we get back, Michael Rothstein, who covers the Falcons for ESPN, joined us earlier in the show. His thoughts about the Julio trade and the roster moving forward. It's all next. Chuck, we're here. Hang on at the Key Studios on Sports Radio the Game, Odyssey.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.